Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Revelle, and this is ValueSide. Today, Joe Biden and the backdoor war. Well, President Biden has pursued the Ukraine conflict with a single-minded ferocity, spending hundreds of billions of U.S. dollars while costing hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian lives. Here's our perspective. The American political system aims to strike a delicate balance of power between the electorate, that's we the people, and those who govern us. The U.S. Constitution seeks to give we the people a measure of control over our representatives by providing for periodic elections. However, on occasion, that balance of power slips. Our elected officials assume powers not given in the Constitution. This has led to what Arthur Schlesinger calls the imperial presidency. Now, of all the powers of the Constitution gives to our government, the most awesome is the power to take us to war. Only 5 times in our country's history have we declared war: the War of 1812, the Mexican-American War, the Spanish-American War, World War I and II. Now, since World War II, the United States has been entangled in a series of conflicts, but none has been a congressional declared war. From the police action in Korea to the conflict in Ukraine, the nation has committed its fortunes and often its soldiers to skirmishes around the globe, each time with the tacit acknowledgement that we can at any time bring our nuclear arsenal into play if the American homeland were to become directly threatened. Thankfully, this has all been a bluff, and we have not had to provide these ultimate weapons in a total war environment. Consequently, American presidents have been playing this bluff for half a century. From Vietnam to Ukraine, presidents have committed arms and equipment in a series of brushfire wars with the explicit understanding that while we can hit you, you can't hit back. The battlefield has always been on the other guy's homeland, not our own, because to do so might bring about the ultimate American nuclear response. Now, from Richard Nixon to Barack Obama, U.S. presidents exercised a delicate balance between projecting America's power and influence while risking as few military personnel as possible. These presidents understood, especially following Vietnam, that one thing the public would not countenance was the loss of American lives. Now, the dawn of the new century began with the destruction of the World Trade Center in New York and the subsequent declaration by George W. Bush of the War on Terror. Of course, like all other modern American incursions, this was really no war at all in the constitutional sense, but a series of discrete military actions as directed by the president. Now, the War on Terror included kinetic actions in Afghanistan, the Philippines, Iraq, Libya, and Syria. Although an American military presence remained in all of these countries, only Afghanistan remained by the time Joe Biden became president on January 20, 2021. Just 7 months after he was inaugurated, on August 31, 2021, Biden ordered all troops to leave Afghanistan, and the 20-year war on terror was at last over. Now, many of us hoped that these endless American wars might finally indeed end. Unfortunately, that was not to be. There was a brewing conflict in a faraway country named Ukraine, a place that Joe Biden had been intimately involved in for more than a decade. As vice president, during the Obama administration, he had been designated the point man in charge of U.S.-Ukraine relations. He had seen, up close and personal, the Euromaidan coup of 2014, when he advised the old president, Yanukovych, to leave and welcomed the new president, Poroshenko, on board. I've written an article about this. Not only did Biden know the players, but history has shown that he helped shape the current Ukrainian government. So when Biden became president, this self-styled foreign policy maven saw Ukraine as part of an overall strategy to blunt any future ambitions of its neighbor, Russia. with a growing animosity towards Russia's President Vladimir Putin, whom Biden has called a dictator and an SOB. Biden hardened the American position, encouraging Ukraine to join NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Now, Putin was on record as saying that if Ukraine joined NATO, it would be considered an existential threat to Russia. Russia would have no defense from any nuclear weapons launched in Ukraine territory. The Ukraine-Russia border is more than 1,000 kilometers long, and atomic weapons placed along that border could be within Russian territory in mere seconds. An additional flashpoint for Russia emerged in the Donbas region of Ukraine. This is located in the southeast part of the country. This region is predominantly ethnic Russian, people amalgamated into Ukraine by the old Soviet Union, but identifying themselves as Russian in language, culture, and religion. A particularly sketchy military group within Ukraine has been targeting the Donbas for years. Amnesty International estimated that 14,000 Donbas residents had been killed by the Azov Battalion over the decade leading up to the Russian invasion. The Russians saw both the existential threat, potentially nuclear weapons on the Ukraine border, plus the opposition of ethnic Russians living in the Donbas as the tipping point towards war. On February 24, 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine, and the war was on. Interestingly, on February 22nd, 2 days before the Russian incursion, Biden declared that Russian troops buildup was a sure sign that Russia would indeed invade. At this point, Biden announced the beginning of a series of economic sanctions designed to bring down the Russian economy. Now the question is, was Biden's speech on February 22nd a final provocation or simply an acknowledgement of what was already occurring? It's a fascinating question when you think about it, especially in light of Biden's prior history in Ukraine as the point man under Obama. But be that as it may, America was again embroiled in war. Only this time, it was a proxy war, a war fought principally by Ukrainian soldiers and using American and European arms and equipment. And now we see, under the skilled advisement of NATO technicians, advisors, and surveillance. From Biden's perspective, this new proxy war would solve the old American bugaboo of avoiding American casualties. No Americans would be killed. Instead, it would be the Ukrainian boys and girls who would endure the Russian onslaught. At the same time, Biden could pursue his anti-Russian strategy, depleting its military in combat, decimating its economy with sanction, and isolating the Russian state by utilizing NATO, the United Nations, and other multinational organizations all against Russia. In short, it had all of the essential elements that Biden learned during his half-century in Washington that Americans wanted. As a U.S. senator, Biden saw the devastation that American battle losses in Vietnam had on the presidency of Lyndon Johnson. On the other hand, Biden saw the ease with which Bill Clinton could bomb Yugoslavia, bombing the Kosovo Albanians until they were forced to leave their homes in Kosovo, flying the NATO planes above anti-aircraft altitudes, making sure there would be no American casualties. From the Biden perspective, this was a perfect model for American foreign policy. The Kosovo conflict was short, lasting only 2.5 months, inflicting maximum harm on the enemy, with nearly 15,000 dead and over 750,000 displaced. It achieved all of its objectives, removing the Albanians from Kosovo, and like the similar bombings of Bosnia and Herzegovina, it had drawn few headlines and had little dissent back home. However, the current situation in Ukraine has met none of these objectives. The fact that the Ukrainian war lingers now 2 years after it began proves that Biden's initial aim of a short, decisive conflict is now impossible. Escalation after escalation has not deterred the Russians. As Americans placed better, more advanced weapons on the battlefield, they were matched by the Russians. Today, American supplies are dwindling. The Russians continue to outproduce and, more importantly, outshoot NATO and the Americans in necessary artillery, drones, and missile attack. Even the American bluff, the use of nuclear weapons, is more than matched by Russia. I think that most Americans will find it hard to believe, but Russia has a superior nuclear capability to America. It has more warheads and likely better missiles than the American arsenal. President Biden must face a bitter truth. His strategy is failing. The war in Ukraine has continued far beyond his administration's projections. The battles against Russia have not been quick and victorious. The Russian economy was not reduced to tatters, as Ursula von der Leyen thought. It's time for NATO and the American president to negotiate for peace. President Putin has said that he's willing to talk. Why not take him up on this offer? Why not begin to settle this conflict diplomatically? Perhaps a peacetime president would be just what the American electorate would like to see. And that's today's Value Side. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revelle. Value Side is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.